Season 2, Biblical Easter Eggs.
All right, welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. We're in Season 2. We are on Letter 2. This is our second time around. And this time, not doing a deep dive in the entire subject matter of the chapter, but honing in on what we call the Easter eggs, highlighting some biblical references, doctrinal or theological hints and topics that are kind of subtle, you know, things that you might glaze right over, but they're kind of deep hidden in what C.S. Lewis is getting at. So Ian, I think you and I were chatting, trying to find one or two. And we actually found several in this chapter and had to narrow it down.
Yeah, the reason I think there's one that's kind of overt, or two that maybe are more overt, and then another couple beyond that. And again, if we go back into, you know, what we found in letter one, that was really revelatory, the way he sets up the incarnation of Christ within that biblical Easter egg in the first one. So it's interesting for where he goes here with the second one. So let's talk about that, especially the overarching one that seems to be riddled throughout this entire letter.
Yeah, so he goes in and he's talking about the fact that thanks to our Father below, he's trying to give some wormwood some encouragement that this man is a Christian at the moment. He's walking with the Lord, and that's a problem for the demonic. Don't worry though, thanks to our Father below, this man is a great fool. And that the topic of fool, he's saying it in a mocking sense, and knowing that, don't worry, he's going to come back. He's a fool by nature, and he's a fool because of what our Father below, Satan, has done to really program humankind and society. And that concept of the fool is obviously a prevalent theme in Scripture, particularly the Proverbs. But even the way they use it in a mocking sense, you remember in the prologue, and the whole one of the themes of the demonic is to mock. And the purpose of this book by C.S. Lewis is, in a sense, to mock back at the demonic.
Yeah, absolutely. When people call this satire, I actually think it's satirical in the way of mocking the demonic. So that's actually done in reverse, and then this is a double reverse, because within the book they're actually mocking someone who's become a Christian. But in the same way, we would probably call a fool some friend of ours if all of a sudden he was spending all his time in strip joints and taking drugs and onto the dark side. We'd be praying for him, but we'd be like, this person's a fool.
Right.
He's right. Gone on to that. So they flip that in this because the patient's gone to church. So he's worshiping, he's found a congregation. And so for them, he's a fool, but on the fool for Christ rather than a fool for, you know, for the evil side of things.
Right. And I just think it's good to kind of, I would challenge our listeners, do a little bit of a deep dive and understand some of the characters in the book of Proverbs, because you have some recurring characters, so to speak. There's the fool, or the mocker, or the scoffer is the other word. There's people who mock and people who scoff. And that really is, it's a behavior type that comes from people that are foolish, and it manifests itself really in everyone. It's almost like a sense of a person that has to be sanctified, has to be bridled. And if it's not addressed, it's something that the demonic can use to continually, you know, pull you down a path. Because I believe everyone's foolish in some areas of life. You're either wise, foolish, or evil. Nobody's born wise. Everyone's born with some level of foolishness. And that's the devil's point in this, Screwtape's point in this chapter. Foolishness will either be repented of and turned into wisdom, you'll become wise, or you will remain in foolishness and graduate to become evil. And that's what the demonic is banking on, that the foolish mockers and scoffers will eventually become evil.
Right. They'll let you start demeaning more people, talking badly about people, and it becomes a downward spiral until maybe they're taking actions and taking that to the whole next level. So, you know, you pointed out Proverbs 3:34, which says that God will mock the mockers, but give favor to the humble and oppressed. And then, mm-hmm. like you were saying about most people start foolish, either they repent or they move towards that evil side of things. And it's one of those situations where when we covered that letter too, that it's very easy to go into a church and feel really uncomfortable because you think you're better than everybody else that's in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, and within the Screwtape letters, it's Heath's like, oh, the local butcher, oh, that lady I see in the street, it's like, they're here. He has this hoity sort of regard for himself, where who did he expect to find in there? You know, the Rolling Stones, right, or something like that. And, you know, not that, again, that they were the bastions of virtue. But yeah, for all of us, I think that there really is that moment where you're meeting these people who in a church who you would not normally choose as friends. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of a church. It's there's no rule to why you're there to have a brotherhood and commune and share with these people who are just randomly next to you.
Right.
And you're sharing something beautiful, which is that relationship with Jesus Christ, the worshiping of Christ, and Bible reading. And so that's one of these situations where this idea of, you know, being that person who wants to call out everyone can be very dangerous, because if it's something that you leave the church and you hold that, yes, I am that, wow, you've now set yourself on very shaky ground going forward, because, like, who's next?
I think it's really, really true. I think, especially look at the world today, a lot of people have a very critical spirit, and there's something that's very haughty about, you know, constantly having a mocking, cynical, scoffer, critical spirit towards things. You know, you look at social media, you look at, you know, a lot of the talking heads on television and the late night shows. I mean, you can make a living. The better scoffer you are, the more money you can make, and the more they'll get your name out there. But at the base of it, it really is foolishness, and it doesn't drive you towards understanding. It doesn't drive you towards God. It galvanizes kind of a heart posture, and it galvanizes a mindset that's just removed from God. It's gonna constantly want to scoff and mock from a place of, you know, height and authority, looking down on other people, which is what the demonic is happening.
Yeah, and when you think about the way Christ chose his disciples, they weren't all of a certain ilk. They were sinners, right. They were tax collectors, they were fishermen, right. They were people from across the board. There was right. no status that you had to achieve to be part of his discipleship.
Right. So it's a good one in this chapter, just that little hint at the fact that this man is a fool, thanks to our Father below, and just looking at the way, you know, Satan kind of orchestrates and works it to foster foolishness and use mockery to kind of pull about his wily ways. Now, so we have one more one to mention as well.
Oh, yeah, you found another one in there, which was really interesting, around the church.
Yeah, right at the start of the chapter, and I want to read it here, because the whole nature of the chapter here is Screwtape is offering a little bit of comfort to Wormwood that his man might be a Christian at the moment, but that's fine. He says, you know, don't worry. You know, the church could actually be a good thing for us. And he says, I don't mean, however, a church as we see her spread out through all time and space and rooted in eternity, terrible as any army with banners. He says, that, I confess, is a spectacle which makes our boldest tempters uneasy. And he's hinting at the fact that he says, it's good that your man found a church, but I'm not talking about that church that you can't see. And he even goes forward and says, but fortunately, it is quite invisible to these humans. And he talks about, I want to drop a little bit of a theological term, something that we call the universal church. So you go to a church in Scottsdale. We used to go to the same church when I lived there. I'm part of a local church here. There's lots of churches that, you know, you see on the throughout the country. people who are believers in Christ, we're kind of all part of the same body. That's kind of the body that Paul references in Scripture. So there's a term, we believe in the authority of the local church. We believe that that's what is kind of the main means that God calls us to be part of a faith community. But we're all part of a larger community. All the churches are kind of connected in a way in what we call the larger body of Christ, right, or the universal church. And that is a thing that God is always orchestrating through different ways and means throughout generations, throughout epochs, and throughout eras. That passage particularly, I think C.S. Lewis had to be thinking of what Christ said in Matthew 16, when he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus was establishing something new. He was going to save people and call them to a new mission, the mission of the church, and it was going to be something on the offense. Gates, as we know, are defensive measures. You don't use a gate in battle. You don't take a gate to battle. You put it out, correct, to protect your territory. Yeah. And Jesus said, hell's gates are not going to succeed against what the church is going to be doing. And that's why C.S. Lewis puts that phrase in there, that even the boldest tempters leaves them feeling uneasy when they look at what Christ is doing in that universal church.
I think you actually hit on something more there than I originally gave it credit for, because I think that is part of that big message, that big Easter egg in this one, the universal church idea.
Right.
Because this whole chapter is centered around him being in a church and being that mocker when he's there. But I never saw that first time around, but that's very astute. I think you're right, Galen. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway in this one overall is that whole idea of the universal church, and upon this rock I will build my church.
Well, and it's also like, tempt your man to think you're not part of anything big and grand and, something that transcends thousands of years. You're just part of this silly little group of people. It's just your butcher. It's just the silly lady at the grocery store or the plays bridge. Look at this little quirky club you're a part of. No, the demonic. No, that's something way bigger, and it's something that has power and authority.
No, that's major. Well done.
Yeah, that's a big one.
No, these are great. I tell you what, when you look at the letters like this with this sort of purview, it really also changes the way you listen to it next time and what you take in. Since we've been really focusing on the Easter egg side of things, as I've been going back through each of these letters, it becomes, it's a different read all of a sudden, and it's kind of exciting.
Right. Well, it's amazing how you can dial in on just one little phrase that's predicated, that he'll mention something and he seems to be referencing or hinting at some other thing that he doesn't even mention. So you really can do a pretty deep dive on just one of these little concepts. So the Easter eggs are fun. Some good ones in this chapter. We found a couple more, one of which I think we're going to be able to hit in our next letter next week. Because is one passage, I'm not going to say what it is, but he references it here and then also references it a little more clearly in the next chapter. I wonder if anybody can pick up on it.
Yeah, if you are out there listening, make sure to go to our website, screwtipletterspodcast.com. And if there's any of these little Easter eggs that you think we've missed, we'd love to hear from you as well. And we'll can put them into the show notes or actually add them into some special episodes as well. So yeah, we'd love to hear from you too. Again, this is great. These are great little vignettes following up on the work we did within these letters. And again, I think we picked up on two really good ones here, Galen.
Yeah. So it's a good one. I think that'll be a wrap for letter number two, two Easter eggs in this one. Looking forward to seeing you all next week. Letter number three, it's been a good one in the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time.